The title of today's message is Understanding the Godhead, Part 2. At this time, if you are still having trouble seeing the oneness of God, I would like to give you a rundown and some more questions to further explain the oneness of God. For this, I would like to give a condensed example. God the Word, John 1:1, became flesh Jesus, John 1:14, upon being conceived by Mary, whom the Holy Ghost hovered over, Luke 1:35. Notice that 1, the Holy Ghost does not have a name. Yet all angels, man, and God have and had names. So then, why would the Holy Ghost be a third individual without a name? And 2, the Holy Ghost hovered over Mary and not the Father. So this would make the Holy Ghost the Father of Jesus and not God being the Father of Jesus. Also, if the Holy Ghost can be in every person on planet Earth, that would make the Holy Ghost 6.5 billion individuals that make up the Holy Ghost. So then, if the Holy Ghost can be one, yet in 6.5 billion different people, how then is it hard to see that one God can manifest himself as an infinite number, yet still only be one God? At this time, I would like to bring your attention to one called Melchizedek. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Here we read of a Melchizedek who was the king of Salem, and that he was the priest of the Most High God. We also learn that Abram pays tithes to Melchizedek. Now let's read about Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews to better understand who he is. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We now see that Jesus has been made our high priest after the order of this Melchizedek. In chapter 7 of Hebrews and verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Here we are told some very important things concerning Melchizedek. He was the king of righteousness, the king of Salem, the king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having no beginning of days nor end of life, and made like unto the Son of God, and abides a priest continually. Many people try to pass off Melchizedek as being just a man, and trying to say that he was without mother and father because they didn't know his lineage. This is a very naive statement for many reasons. Let's discuss a few. The Holy Ghost can easily reveal lineage, since in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 23 through 38, they give the lineage of Christ clear back to Adam, the Son of God. This belief system completely ignores the wording of this verse, which tells us he was without beginning of days, nor end of life. That is very clear that he never had end of life. The verses also tell us that Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God. What natural man could be like unto the Son of God? What man could fulfill being the King of righteousness, the King of peace? Since the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Let's continue to read about Melchizedek. Continuing at verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In verse 6, we were just told that Melchizedek received tithes of Abraham, and then blessed Abraham, which had the promises of God. Then in verse 7, we are told without contradiction, the less, meaning Abraham, was blessed of the better, meaning Melchizedek. What natural man could have been more important than Abraham, which had received the promises of God? The answer is no one. That is why it is said that without all contradiction. The answer was because Melchizedek was not just a man. He was God. Continuing at verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Again, it was stressed that men here that receive tithes die. But there Melchizedek received them, and it was witnessed that he lives. Continuing at verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. These verses tells us that the sons of Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek, even though they were yet in the loins of Abraham. Continuing at verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. These verses explain to us that God changed the priesthood, and since he changed the priesthood out of necessity, he also changed the law. That new law is the law of liberty, of which we now are free from the law of sin and death, because Jesus died on the cross and took back the keys of death and hell, and as many as that are born again and obey the New Testament and its commandments through the faith of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. This next verse is extremely important concerning the belief system that Melchizedek was just a man. It reads, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. That priest was Jesus Christ. And this verse just told us that Jesus was after the similitude of Melchizedek. How then, seeing that Jesus was Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us, can you compare him to only a flesh and blood man? Since Emmanuel was God with us, we know that God had no beginning of days, nor does he have end of life. The only way that Melchizedek could be similar to Jesus Christ would be that Melchizedek never had beginning of days, nor end of life, which was clearly stated, as well as the fact that verse 3 also tells us that he was made like unto the Son of God. Let's reread Hebrews chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Since we know that Jesus is in the similitude of Melchizedek, notice Melchizedek was the king of peace, and that Jesus Christ is the prince of peace. Continuing at verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Notice that it tells us that he abides a priest continually. That means that he is still a priest. And since it also tells us he neither had beginning of days nor end of life, that means that if you are of a Trinitarian mindset, you will either continue to say that Jesus came after the order of a man that was the King of Righteousness, or that now there is a fourth deity in the Godhead. Just because in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 it says that there are three that bear record in heaven does not mean that Melchizedek ceased to exist. Continuing at verse 20, and it reads, "And insomuch as not without an oath, he, Jesus, was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Notice that verse 7 said that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one. It did not say these three are one, made up of three, because that would no longer be one, but three. And this is exactly what the Trinitarian does. They add to this scripture to make their doctrine fit. If the Lord chose to list 20 different things and told us that these 20 things bear record in heaven and these 20 are one, we would not conclude that they are one made up of 20. The reason? Because the verse said these are one. If we were to have concluded 20, then we would have been told, "And these 20 are one, made up of 20. So the Trinitarian person has added to the Word of God by teaching that these three are one, made up of the Holy Trinity, which consists of three co-equal individuals made of the same substance, but each with the ability to think separately and make decisions. So there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, God; the Word, God; and the Holy Ghost, God. And these three are one God named Jesus. Just as Melchizedek, God, is another manifestation of God. This means he is still alive even though he doesn't bear record. He is alive as God. Melchizedek cannot be overlooked or ignored. He was a manifestation of God. Many Trinitarians call oneness people heretics for saying that God is one God who manifested himself in different roles as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one whose name is Jesus. Melchizedek was existent not as a fourth individual in the Godhead, but as the one God who was capable of manifesting himself as anything, anywhere, in any number, at any time, just like he appeared as the burning bush, Exodus 3 and 5, and as the rock in the wilderness that followed Moses, 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. These just being more examples of how he is all-powerful, just as he appeared in the fiery furnace in Daniel, chapter 3 and verse 25. "We look at our own body made in his image, and I see one body that is made up of three, body, soul, and spirit. Yet I am only one person, just as spiritually Jesus was one body made up of three, God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost."